A year ago, I did two confessions of sin in a row. Second one, I remember, well, the first one implied that I was evangelizing my parents. Second one, I confessed that I had a difficult time doing that, that I didn't have a good relationship with my parents. That me as a Christian for 20 years at that time, I had never really forgiven them, never really loved them the way that God would want me to. So there's two sides to forgiveness and repentance. Yesterday, my mom went into a care center, hospice care center, and then unexpectedly last night she died. Actually, we just came from there so we could all say goodbye to her. So there's two sides to forgiveness, because in this case, a month and a day ago, she received Christ. As far as I can tell, as far as she appeared to be after that day, she received Christ. And so I can see her again in heaven. But there's also a relationship between us that now cannot be changed. And it's based on my sin. And all of us have people that have gone, and all of us have people that are still alive here, might be in our lives for 50 years more. And sometimes I think the forgiveness we have from God kind of freezes us to the fact that God really thinks that certain things matter, and there's a reward in heaven when you're in an unloving situation, when you love someone. There's a greater reward in heaven, as I wrote in a letter to my mom just a few days ago. Especially when times are hard, he wants us to love other people. And there is a reward. And yeah, we're forgiven for our sins. But what we actually do that's righteous actually matters. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for forgiveness, that we have choices in our life to act in a godly, righteous way or to act in a selfish, sinful way. And we are forgiven for those selfish and sinful ways if we know Jesus as Lord, if we are in Christ, if we have the Holy Spirit in us, we are forgiven. And Lord, we repent of those. And that repentance means that we are sorry for the wrong things we do, and we commit to not doing them again. We commit to finding a way, finding accountability, finding a scripture to memorize that will lead us away from sin. And that's what we must do as we repent. Lord, help us to understand your forgiveness, the grace that you shed on us, but also to understand that it costs so much for us to be forgiven, that it demonstrates the severity of our sin. Lord, thank you for the cross of Christ.
Life is full of twists and turns, but the promises of salvation in Jesus Christ are unshakable. We've been dealing in our confession of faith the last several weeks with the study of the five solas of Reformed soteriology. And we've learned that salvation is by faith alone, through grace alone, in Christ alone, for the glory of God alone, and that our only source of authority is Scripture alone. We've discussed already that Scripture, the God-breathed Word, is our only source of authority, and that we are saved only by our faith and not by our works, and that our faith comes to us only by the grace of God. It's not something we earn or merited. Today I want to deal with the question of what kind of faith is salvific. Consider these popular thoughts. There are many paths up the mountain to God. No religion has a monopoly on the truth. It doesn't matter what you believe as long as your beliefs are sincere. God is a loving God who welcomes all sincere believers into His presence. Praying to a saint can help us get into heaven by tapping into their merit or righteousness. They live such holy lives that they have excess merit with which they can assist others in reaching heaven if we will pray to one of them. All these are cherished beliefs of some part of the world or some part of the church. These beliefs even creep into our church. But they do not square with Scripture. Scripture teaches us that it is faith in Christ alone, belief in His gospel alone, soli Christo, which is the only ground for our salvation. In our justification, faith is the means by which we are linked to Christ and receive the benefits of His saving work. By faith, we receive the transfer or imputation of the righteousness of Christ. Faith trusts in and lays hold of a righteousness that is not our own. Justification by faith alone is merely shorthand for justification by the righteousness of Christ alone. His merit, and only His merit, is sufficient to satisfy the demands of God's justice. Only Christ could fulfill the covenant of works. No one else has done that. It is precisely this merit that is given to us by faith. Christ is our righteousness. God clothes His filthy creatures with the coat of Christ's righteousness. This is the very heart of the gospel. Reformers agreed, of course, that Christ dwells in the Christian, and so does the Holy Spirit. The ground of our justification, however, is not this indwelling, but the merit of Christ wrought in Himself, not in us. It is the legal application of His righteousness to us by which we are declared just. This is no legal fiction because real righteousness is really imputed. There is nothing fictional about the righteousness of Christ. Imputation is at the heart of the Christian faith. Christ's cross was real, and the punishment He received in our behalf was likewise real. He was the Lamb of God who bore our sins. How did He do that? As was symbolized in the Old Testament, our sins are transferred to Christ by imputation. God counted Christ's suffering as worthy for our guilt. Our salvation rests not only in Christ's atoning death, but also in His life of perfect active obedience. If to secure our redemption, Christ only needed to make an atonement for us, He could have come down from heaven going directly to the cross, couldn't He? But He also had to fulfill all righteousness by submitting at every point to the law of God. By His sinless life, He achieved positive merit, which was imputed to us and to all who put their faith in Him. Christ not only died for us, but He lived for us as well. Father, we thank You that You sent Your only Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to both live for us and to die for us. We know that only Jesus could both fulfill the covenant of works to establish Your righteousness, that only Jesus' blood could provide the once-for-all perfect atoning sacrifice for the multitudinous sins of His people. Make us intolerant of any effort to place our faith in any other person or work. In the precious atoning name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.